I'd like to take a few minutes today in the first message just to talk a little about some of the special two evenings that are coming up, the Passover and the night to be much observed. And today the purpose is to show the timeline and just a little remembrance of the meanings. Nothing really deep, but at the same time, as we approach this season, I think you'll find it very interesting to see how the two flow together. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 5, that these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. There has been some confusion in the minds of some as to which days the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread should be observed on. This is not an unusual question by any means. Mr. Herbert Armstrong, way back in 1939, had a minister's conference up in Oregon to really be clear on this particular topic. And down through time, it has been a very careful study of the church to ensure that we are keeping the Passover on the right day at the right time, and also the days of unleavened bread. We see here in Leviticus 23 something that should be clear to us, and that is on the 14th day of the first month, that's the month of Nisan, or Abib, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So Passover we see is on the 14th, and then on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. However, the unclarity here is, could these possibly be the same day? What if the 14th day of the first month at twilight should mean the end of the 14th, the finish of the 14th? And then on the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. That would mean the Passover, the night to be much observed, the day of unleavened bread are all on the same day. So we ought to be clear about these things. And Mr. Armstrong and the church has always sought clarity about that. I'd like to clear up a little bit of any ambiguity on that topic by looking at Nisan 14, the evening. Okay, we've talked about the evening. What is it talking about? Is it talking about the end of the day or the beginning of the day? Well, this is explained to us by something that is not always clear. Strong's Concordance will not bring out the meaning of that term twilight, and it'll use a Hebrew term which is I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But in fact, if you look very careful, this evening that is mentioned in the previous verse, let me show you again. If you notice here the word twilight after the 14th day, that is not the same as sunset that the Bible usually uses. In fact, this is a very rare occurrence of a different term that the Bible translates as twilight. It can also be called between the two evenings. Mr. Armstrong used that term a lot. Bin ha-arbaim is a very unique term, and it's just after the sun sets at the beginning of a new day. Okay? We see this in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. The lamb was kept until the 14th. As we go on, we see on Nisan 14 that later that night, the Passover meal was eaten. That was after sunset, at the beginning of the 14th. So Passover day is a unique day to itself. It starts at sunset on the 13th and then begins the 14th of the month. And Passover begins between the evenings, the Bin Ha'arba'im, just after the sun sets. And just as you and I always keep Passover right after sunset, so it was kept in the past. And the lamb was kept on the 13th until the 14th. Okay, so something happened on the 14th. Notice it wasn't kept all the way through the 14th until the 15th, right? So Passover, when the lamb was killed, is a different day than the 15th. It was kept until the 14th, then the lamb was killed. The blood was put on the doorposts. Different day. On that night again, on Nisan 14, the Passover, after the Passover meal was eaten that night, it was eaten after sunset. Exodus 12, verse 8. Later on, as the evening progressed, we had the firstborn of Egypt were killed at midnight. Pharaoh sends for Moses by night, but the Bible nowhere records that Moses went when he summoned him. He summoned him after midnight, but there was no record again of Moses going to see Pharaoh. And Israel, in verse 22 of Exodus 12, remains inside those huts with the door on the blood posts until morning. If it were the night to be much observed, they would have left. Okay? They wouldn't have been around there at midnight when Pharaoh called. Moses would have had long departed instead of going to see him the next morning. So we can see here that Nisan 14 is a very special day. Now, as the day continues, let's go on. On Passover night, all the Egyptian firstborn died, and 1,500 years later, our Creator also became our Savior. That's a special day all to itself. Very special time. On Passover day, this is the next day after the firstborn had died that night, when Moses went to see Pharaoh, the Israelites, being 2 to 3 million of them, packed up, got ready to go somewhere. And then they traveled to a nearby gathering place in a city called Ramses. And they became ready for a departure. And that night, at the end of Nisan 14, they began their journey out of Egypt. Now let's go forward and take a look at this, examining the timeline of the daytime events here on Nisan 14. You and I will take the Passover this year on a Sunday night. Then we'll go home and we'll sleep. That's the time the Israelites would have been in their homes with the blood on the doorpost. And at midnight, the firstborn would have died. And the next morning, here's the daytime on what we would call Passover Day. The remains of the meal, that Passover meal, were burned the next morning. Israel baked unleavened bread for the cakes, baked unleavened cakes for the trip that they would be taking. Joseph's remains were collected on that day for the trip. Israel gathered at Ramses after doing all this baking, then they had to make a short trip up to Ramses to assemble in armies, in hosts, and in divisions. They spoiled the Egyptians. And the Bible says in Numbers 33 that the firstborn were being buried as Israel gathered to leave. Many of them, you can just see the logic there of the timeline. You can't be leaving before the firstborn die at midnight, and you can't be leaving as they're burying those who haven't died yet. And then at the end of Nisan 14, you have a sunset that is called Ba'arev. Very different term than that unique one that means the sunset at the beginning of a day. The Ba'arev is the sunset at the end of a day. The end of that day then starts 15 Nisan, or the 15th day of Nisan, which is the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread. And as the sun sets, that is the night to be much observed. That evening, the Israelites left Egypt by night, the Bible tells us. And it's always interesting that night to see the full moon. It's an exciting time. It was a night for them to be watchful, to watch for them, watch to their states, and also a night to be observant with their eyes, because they didn't have lights and lamps. They did have, though, something special provided by God. It's a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Again, a wonderful time, a special evening when Israel, for the first time in 420 years, began to journey out of Egypt. If we look at this night, we see, first of all, the Israelites march from Ramses to Succoth, and that's about 20 miles. There's a couple of scriptures there. Remember, they assembled during the daytime on the 14th, got ready in their divisions and their armies and their order. And in that night, they they traveled from Ramses to Succoth. Now, that's about 20 miles. How many of you think that's a big deal? 20 miles. So do I. He knows my hands up. Going to take 2 to 3 million people 20 miles. I did a little calculation this morning. 20 miles at 2 miles an hour is 10 hours. And they've got to be there probably by sunup, because they went out by night. They didn't go out by day. They went out by night. Now, 2 miles an hour, Gordon Price and I do a lot of walking, and we time our walking. We know how many miles an hour it is. And he can walk 3.2 miles an hour, and sometimes 3.2 miles an hour is just a little bit faster than I want to walk some days. Now, some days I'll take my little dog, she's about that big, for a walk. And some days she doesn't walk quite as fast as I want to walk. Now, I have never taken a goat for a walk, or sheep. I've never taken a cow for a walk. I have never gone 20 miles on foot with my 85-year-old father. 84-year-old father, sorry, didn't mean to scare you there, but... When I walk with my little grandson, who is 2, he doesn't necessarily clip along at a real fast rate. So if you take 2 million people with a lot of animals, 2 miles an hour, I think, is generous. I really do believe that is generous. In mountain climbing with a pack, if I can do 2 miles an hour, I am really booking it, because you're climbing up an incline. And you're really, really pushing hard to do 2 miles an hour. So, once again, I think 2 miles an hour is generous, and that means it's an all-night journey just to go 20 miles. You can't really fit spoiling the Egyptians in there, burying them, you know, a midnight cry, and then maybe getting out of town at 3 and showing up 20 miles later by sunrise. There's just a whole lot of problems there. We're told in Exodus chapter 12 and Deuteronomy 16 that they left Egypt by night. 430 years to the selfsame day. And there were 600,000 men. Those were evidently the army, the men fit for warfare that you would count. So you can extrapolate from that 2 to 3 million people plus a mixed multitude plus very much cattle. And cattle doesn't mean cows. It means animals, farm animals, various types. I hope they weren't herding chickens. Those guys really go slow. But I'm sure this thing didn't move along at a real fast pace. But it was quite a night to move 2 to 3 million people 20 miles. You know, that area where they were and they lived and they inhabited and they worked, suddenly there were none there. Next morning, wow, this is different. It's like with the Rose Parade. My family and I used to live right on the route of the Rose Parade. And the Rose Parade would come to town with 1 million people on the route, and the Rose Parade was always this big fanfare, da-da-da-da-da. Well, that afternoon, no one was in town. It was like a ghost town, little papers and trash blowing around. I always said, after the parade went by, it's another world. There's nobody there. They all went off after the parade, and then everybody went home, left you the trash. So it was quite an event. Now, on Nisan 15, as the morning breaks, the Israelites had concluded their overnight march, and now it's the daytime, and the Israelites camp at Succoth on the first day of unleavened bread. And there's a couple of scriptures there that show you what they were doing. Passover is a memorial of a very, very awesome event, and it's what freed us from slavery to sin. Consequently, it gave us freedom from eternal death. It is the one thing that unhooked us from a life of misery and an eternity of not being in the kingdom of God. And Passover is that memorial by which certainly is solemn and sobers us, but it also is a memorial of what Jesus did for us. And that's the excitement of the Passover. We should not come to the Passover thinking about ourselves and how bad we've been all year. We should be coming to the Passover thinking about how good God is and how much we want to be like Him and how appreciative we are of the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ came and made for us. It is His night. It's a celebration about what God has done for us. And certainly we do not receive the forgiveness of God unless we're serious about it, unless we're wholehearted about it and take it in a in a mentality that is understanding and also involved in what is going on. We do invite those teens and others who are not baptized, who wish to come and observe, to come along to the Passover service. You're welcome, but we just ask that you don't participate. The foot washing and the symbols of the bread and the wine are for those who are fully committed through baptism. As we see in Romans chapter 6, we are buried with him in baptism, and therefore the blood of Christ applies to us from that time forward. We also see the next morning on Passover day that the Israelites pack their belongings. They travel to this place to get ready for departure. On Monday when we get up, we're getting ready for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're getting rid of any other leaven that's in our house. We're getting the unleavened bread in. You might be making unleavened bread for all I know, but you're getting ready mentally to make this journey out of sin for 7 days, which we picture by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the beginning of that begins at sunset with that full moon, the night to be much observed. And what an enjoyable time it is to keep this night to be much observed. This special evening is an evening where many members will invite others to join them, either in their homes or to go out for a meal and for fellowship. Those who would choose a restaurant or some other commercial place that evening would be well advised to get something private and quiet, whereby you can discuss what you're beginning and be able to talk in a rather quiet and private, but also a very encouraging way about the feast and the things about the feast and maybe lessons that you are learning and things that you are going through and how you were first called and what differences there have been in your life since. It's not a night to be talking about ourselves, but a night to come out of the selfish way of thinking and begin to think about really the plan of God and marching out of Egypt to the will of God. There was a time when the Church of God used to all meet together. The entire Pasadena congregation, when I was a little kid, all met, and I don't even know where they first met. Some of my first memories were we could meet on one half of a tennis court, and we could all sit and have a potluck meal on one half of a tennis court and have plenty of room for the serving tables and everything. And then it grew where we had to take the net down and use both halves. And then finally we had to go down and use the big tennis courts that they built elsewhere. But it was always wonderful to see the moon come up at night and hear Dr. Hay or somebody talking about the night to be much observed. Well, today we gather together as members and celebrate this, usually in small groups or in some location. But we celebrate the evening just as it was long ago and for the same reasons. We continue to recognize also the Christian symbol of the night to be much observed in our lives today, the beginning of our journey and how it was Christ's sacrifice that freed us to begin to pursue godliness. And just as the Israelites began to move out of their slavery to Egypt, so we are to be moving along in our 7 days of life, as it were, repenting of sin. As we remove leaven from our homes, we recognize that Jesus Christ is our unleavened Passover. And as we eat leavened bread during the week, we see that as the symbol of not only Jesus Christ, but also the symbol of what we are trying to become. And we are ingesting and eating that perfect bread that He is. He is our spiritual food, and He is the epitome of that which we seek to be. And so it's a joyous occasion that we celebrate and worship the great God through these festivals of Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. I encourage you to look forward to that plan and make it something very unique and special. And as the Bible says, it's a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that great night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel. Physical Israel and spiritual Israel in their generations. Let's enjoy what God has planned for us, and let's be preparing to receive those things with joy and also relevance.